The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
From breakfast to bedtime, it's hard to ignore the impact that screens have on our daily lives and indeed on our children's lives. But how do we as parents break the scroll cycle and get our children away from them? Well, Claire Crowe is here, member of the Psychological Society of Ireland. So Claire, when you popped in here during the break, we were talking about the fact that the school holidays have barely started, but we're all struggling already. So I'm delighted that you're here to help us with this. It's a really tricky one, isn't it?
It is. And I'm going to start with a contradiction. The first thing I'm going to say is, if you haven't seen it already, it's been out for 2 weeks, go see Toy Story 5 with your children, because it has the most important message. It talks about not just the fight for toys against technology, but the fight for the reasons of why we need play in childhood. You'll hear me say this, but it's a famous quote. It's the opposite of play is not work. It is depression. So if we want happy, well-adjusted kids, we need to give them opportunities to play. And this isn't, you know, parent blaming or children that have a lack of willpower. These devices are set up to capture your attention and to sustain it. So it is, we are fighting an uphill battle here.
Mm-hmm. So you want us to watch a screen in order to think about not watching a screen. I get it.
Because it's a lovely conversation starter. You know, like watch the movie and then say, you know, ask your child, what do you think the message in that movie was? Because the message is really clear. As soon as Bonnie is 8 years old in the movie, and as soon as she gets the iPad, she kind of gets lost in the world of technology. And she's already struggling to make friends, and then she really doesn't have the opportunities to do it. And the movie kind of follows, I'm not ruining it for anybody, but that's if it kind of follows that thread. And when I think about Bonnie in the movie, I'm thinking about, say, the neuropsychology of it for Bonnie. So Bonnie's developing her executive functioning skills. So that's the front part of her brain. And that's things like impulse control, delayed gratification, switching between tasks, emotional regulation. So all those tasks are happening in childhood right through to adulthood. But they're really key foundations for emotional well-being. And there's a lovely study in 2011 that showed if kids watch 9 minutes of a stimulating cartoon versus, say, an art activity or watching a slow-moving educational program, their executive functioning tasks are significantly impaired. So what that means at home is if I have my child on an iPad right before bedtime and then I say to them, their tasks are, you know, after your iPad, put on your pajamas and brush your teeth and go to bed. They're not being defiant when there's a meltdown. So, and that's why I like to look at this neuropsychology of it, because what the research shows us now is that meltdown is, I no longer have the executive functioning skills. So that screen time has taken away my capacity to do it.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, but it does give us information as parents. Mm-hmm. It tells us, okay, let's have screen time right not before I have demands on you. Okay, so maybe bring it 2 hours before bedtime so that then we have, you know, other interaction time in between. So then I know you're regulated again so that I can ask you to do those activities and you have capacity to do them.
And what's happening to the brain with the screen then? Are you just lost in another world and disconnected from the real world around you?
Yeah, so it's two things that are happening. One mainly is that the screens are very stimulating. So you have this reward-based loop. So you're getting wins and points and likes from people. So you end up in this cycle of feedback. But actually, screens will bring all that stimulation, and that's the dopamine network. So you're getting hit, hit, hit of dopamine. But actually, kids learn to regulate in relationship, which is the exact opposite of being on a screen. Like how humans have evolved is you regulate in company with others. So like literally your pheromones, your physical contact, your eye contact, your touch, like rough and tumble play, all those kind of opportune interactions help you to regulate. So screens are stimulating, but relationships are regulating. So a relationship on a screen will never replicate a relationship in real life. Mm-hmm. So the myth, of course, in the movie becomes, you know, she's going to make friends on her screen, but you don't make friends on your screen. You make them in the physical presence.
You're not getting the cues.
You're not getting the cues
from human beings or from the game that you're playing or the picture that you're drawing.
Yeah, you're not getting that oxytocin. You know, that feel-good hormone we talked about that sustains well-being. You're not getting that. You get that in company with others.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do?
So
Because we are in holiday time and it's really hard to manage it, you know, unless you've sent them into a camp, which I think is difficult to do, certainly at the start of the holidays, because everybody needs a little break.
Yeah, sure. And I agree with that. And Claire, to be honest, I have made this mistake, which is why I probably know the other side of it. Like, I had a point where my kids had lots of iPad use, and I actually met a parent, a dad, who explained to me he'd stopped iPads altogether in his family, stopped screen use, because when he came in the door from work, he really wanted his kids were like 9 and under, to come and greet him, and how well it was working. They were doing family activities. And I remember being so inspired listening to him, thinking, God, I'm a paediatric psychologist. And here's this guy, the solicitor, telling me how he's doing it, and he's doing it so well. So I would say one part of that is, be courageous. Tell people if you're trying something new, because we'll get spurred by each other. But it is hard to do it. And there are three parts to it. The first is to give the reason why. So kids always respond better to a reason, even if they don't like it. So the why is, you know, I listened to an expert on the radio, and there is now research showing that this is detrimental to your cognitive well-being or your emotional well-being. Use words that they'll understand. Apologize. Say, I wish I had known this sooner. But actually, you know, iPads are only here the last 16 years. This information wasn't here when I was a kid, or whatever the reason is. Or, you know, we gave it to you 2 years ago, but we didn't know then what we know now. And then the third is stick with your boundary. The boundary is whatever you decide. The boundary is from no screens to, you know, we have screens for this time in the day, or we have screens on holidays at this point. Be clear in your mind what it is that your goal you're reaching towards, and then stick with it. Mm-hmm. So change is hard. I had all of the backlash in my family, you know, you're so mean, everybody else gets to do it. All those repercussions, we all know them, and they always compare. But actually, I always love the statistic of 1 in 4. So when we have 1 in 4 people do something, that's when we see a behavior shift, a societal behavioral shift. So if you think of it, if you think, actually, I'm going to reduce screen time, chat to 1 in 4 of your friends, tell them about it, see if they can do it too, and start building that network of, actually, we in our family, I don't know, we go down to the caravan in Wexford for the summer, and we're not bringing the iPads with us, or we're bringing the iPads, but we turn them on, you know, at lunchtime for an hour, whatever it is that fits for your family. But try to build that network, because you'll need that support. Now, the other thing that will happen, of course, and I know this from doing it, is when you build in boundaries around their screen use, you're going to very quickly have kids who want to see your screen use. So I, you know me, I like to story things for kids. So I would name it. So if I'm taking out my phone, I would say, I'm checking my phone. I need to know if there's something to do at work, or I'm checking the score on the World Cup soccer match to fill in our table. Whatever it is, tell them what you're doing. That helps you to focus on what you're doing instead of getting lost. And it also gives them a clear indication of, this is why I'm using it, and now I'm back on your time again. It helps put a boundary around what you're doing too. So it's not that they have rules and you don't.
So you have to practice what you preach.
You do. Yeah, you do.
And what if you have older children in the house who might have a phone, and you've got younger ones then who are told, well, you can't be on the iPad, but I see that older child on their phone. How do you manage that, the different age groups?
Yeah, it is okay to say the rule is different. So in our house, when you're 13 and going to secondary school, you get a phone. You also, I expect, will get a phone when you're 13 and going to secondary school. But we will not, and even like, you might want to change the rule, because it might be, oh, actually, your older sister had an iPad when they were younger, but now we want to change it. Again, it is okay to say, there is new information. This is brand new information for all of us. We're all learning on the cuff with this. We're not expected to have all the answers right now. The kind of correlational studies, or the causational studies, the ones that show us cause and effect, or the impact of screens, are really only coming out now. Mm-hmm. And they are showing us that we're seeing addiction-like behaviours, you know, cravings, distress when it's stopped, the loss of interest in other activities, and the persistent conflict. They're all addictive type behaviours. And if you're seeing those in your kid, then you do kind of know, actually, this is a problem for us and we need to change it.
And summertime, I mean, what you might see are endless hours stretching out ahead of you, and this is going to be difficult. But when routine breaks, it's a good time to change things, is it?
Oh, this is the perfect time to do it. You have good weather, you have holidays, you have the movie. There's loads of really nice platforms now to say, this is why we're doing it. I would say when we're taking something away, I always like to add something in. So it might be you're saying, okay, we're removing, you know, iPads before bedtime. Here's your choices. We might, you know, I don't know, go for a sea swim. We might head in the dart. We might go to the playground. Like, they don't need to be costly activities, go for a walk, go for a run. Just show a family game board, whatever it is. Just show, we're going to add in things and you can choose one of those. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with you being bored.
Yeah.
You don't have to have something that I suggest, because of course, at the very start, no matter what you suggest, it will be a no, because it's not going to be that highly stimulating thing that they got from the game.
And you're going to be the evil enforcer, but yes, you have to be able to withstand that.
Yeah, but now is the time to do it. It's going to, like, this is the best chance for success. There's no reason it won't work. And the more people you can get in your community to do this with you, the better outcomes it will have.
Let's all do it. Let's all try and do it. Let's wrestle the screens off them tonight and put some rules in place. Claire, thank you so much for explaining to us how to do it. That's Claire Crowe from the Psychological Society of Ireland.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.